Good morning, people. How are y'all today? I'm doing pretty good. If I was any better, I'd be some of y'all. And righty, well, we're back here again this morning. Daddy said he looked sad enough, so he talked me into teaching for him this morning, so I did it. I told him he didn't have to try too hard to look pitiful. So y'all do pray for him, because his back, he ain't going to say nothing about it, but his back's hurting him. And he needs to take it easy, so y'all pray that he'll pay attention to the people that tell him to take it easy, not get out and start doing too much. Because he's hard-headed, and he tells me I'm hard-headed when I tell him it didn't fall too far from the tree. So y'all pray that his back will get better and that he'll take it easy, because he needs to, because we need him here. And, he's got a lot of stuff to do, but he's got to take it easy to start with, too. So y'all be praying for him. I know he's not going to say anything about it, so I figured I would. And I think that's okay. Pray for your preacher. I don't think there's anything wrong with that. Certainly, he's prayed for all of us a lot, and I know that he would appreciate prayers, not just for that, but also for everything else he's got. So y'all be sure to do that. I'm going to look a little bit here about being after God's heart. I'm going to start out in 1 Samuel chapter number 13. I'm going to be in and around 1 Samuel 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, around in there today. And talk a little bit about King David and some attributes that he had that we can use, and tie some of this together, some revival to ideas and stuff like that. This is some things I've been thinking about recently, and when he asked me to teach, I kind of pulled some of this back up I've been thinking about and wrote it down, and I hope it makes sense. Hope it's encouragement to you, and kind of see some things that David did that we can correlate to our lives, but also to serving God, because we know that King David was a great man that God chose for a specific purpose. And in this passage I'm looking at here in 1 Samuel chapter number 13, we see that God's starting to reject Saul as king of Israel. And Saul was the first king of Israel that had God chose and put out there. But Saul had not completely obeyed God and everything he told him to do. He went in, he let the king of the certain people live. He didn't kill off all their livestock and all that. So God said that he was going to be done with Saul because of his disobedience. And God was looking for a man to take over as king of Israel, and God had somebody, and he had exactly what he wanted. Now, verse number 14 of 1 Samuel 13 tells us what he said. It says, "But now thy kingdom," this is God speaking to Saul, "shall not continue. The Lord has sought him a man after his own heart, and the Lord hath commanded him to be captain over his people, because thou hast not kept that which the Lord commanded thee." Now we see in this verse that God's looking for a man, and that can be anybody. God's looking for a man, he's looking for a woman that are after his own heart. And that's what God has, the desire for each and every one of us in here, to be after his own heart. That means to actively be pursuing, to follow after God, to look for him and try to do what he wants us in his life. And that says God's looking for him. It says the Lord has sought him a man. And he's looking for people today that are after his heart. And that's the mindset that we need to have. Saul had been rejected as king of Israel. Now God was looking for someone he can use and trust to lead his people. And he came to Samuel and gave him instructions where to go to find this man. And we look on down here in the next chapter, or excuse me, chapter number 16, the choice of David to be king. And actually, if we look in chapter 15 real quick, verse number 34 says, "Then Samuel went to Ramah, and Saul went up to his house to Gibeah of Saul. And Samuel came no more to see Saul until the day of his death. Nevertheless, Samuel mourned for Saul." And it says in verse 35, "The Lord repented that he had made Saul king over Israel." Now, I'd hate for that to be the thing that we have, said the Lord repented, or the Lord was sad that he had chosen us to do something. Now, Saul was a great man. He was a leader, but he didn't obey God. And when God said that he repented, that means he was upset that he had chosen Saul, because Saul didn't follow through on that. Now, we don't want that to be the mindset or the attitude that God has toward us. We want to be that attitude of somebody who's pursuing after God and looking for him. And that says that was what happened there. And as you look at 1 Samuel chapter 16, I'm read verses 1-3. And said, and the Lord said unto Samuel, how long wilt thou mourn for Saul, seeing I have rejected him from reigning over Israel? Fill thine horn with oil and go, and I will send thee to Jesse the Bethlehemite, for I have provided me a king of among his sons. And Samuel said, how can I go? If Saul hear it, he will kill me. And the Lord said, take an heifer with thee, and say, I am come to sacrifice, and call Jesse to sacrifice, and I will show thee what thou shalt do, and thou shalt anoint unto me him who I name unto thee. And Samuel did that which the Lord spake unto him, and came to Bethlehem, and the elders of the town came, trembled at his coming, and said, comest thou peaceably? And he said, peaceably, I am come to sacrifice in the Lord. Sanctify yourselves, and come with me to sacrifice. And he sanctified Jesse and his sons, and called them to sacrifice. Now we see that God had given Samuel some specific instructions on how to find this man that was after his heart. And that's what we are looking at. God's still looking for people today, as I said. And he knew that David existed. That verse was talking about David. He had picked David out to be the king of Israel. Now, we know that because we've read that before, but Samuel didn't know that, but God gave him a specific task to do, so he went to the house of Jesse. Now, the mindset that we need to have, I think that David had, we're familiar with the life of David, but there's a verse I want to look at over in Psalm 42 real quick. Psalm 42, the mindset that we need to have says, as the heart panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after thee. The heart there is talking about a deer that's running, trying to find water in the woods. And that's what David had done. He was looking after the Lord, and God knew about that. And that's why he took the man of God and sent him there to anoint David to be king of Israel, because he knew that David was somebody who was after his own heart. He knew that David had actively been pursuing him and was following him. And that says that heart's panting after the water brooks. David was panting after God and wanting to be like God and wanting to draw closer to him. And another verse of Psalm 63, let me go over to Psalm 63, verse number 1 says, O God, thou art my God, early will I seek thee. My soul thirsteth for thee. My flesh longeth for thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is, to see thy power and thy glory, so as I have seen in the sanctuary. That's the attitude that we need to have today. We need to be early seeking the Lord. We need to get up early. Literally get up early, and also early in our lives, we need to be seeking after the Lord, thirsting for him, because we're certainly in a dry and thirsty land these days, but we know that God can satisfy our thirst here in the land that we live in today. There's no water in this world, but there's water in the world when the Lord comes in and takes over. And we know that that's what David did. Matter of fact, David wrote Psalm 63, and I'm wondering when he wrote that. Maybe he wrote it when he was still searching after God. I think that God knew that right there, that David had that as his mindset, and so he chose him to be the king of Israel. Said, I will seek thee early. Said, my flesh longeth for thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is. David knew that the only way he was going to get anything done was through the grace and power of God. He knew that he wasn't going to be able to do anything on his own. David was actually actively seeking God. And that's something that has been mentioned several times, I think, over the last few weeks, is coming looking for something. And when we come into church looking for something and we're actively seeking, God's going to allow us to do that. I mean, the Bible says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. We need to, the forefront of our minds needs to be seeking and actively pursuing God when we come to church, not just come here to go through the motions, but come to get something from God, find God's heart for our lives, because God has something for us. David knew that God had something to sustain him and to satisfy his thirst, and we need to get a thirsting and a longing in our heart for God, because we have so much out there in the world. Like I said, it's a dry desert land out there, and there's a thirst, but we don't need to have a thirst for the things of the world. We need to have a thirst for the things of God, and that's what David had. He had a thirst to follow God, and God knew that. And we look back over there in chapter number 13, said that he had chosen him a man that was after his own heart. God knew that David had the right mindset. Saul didn't have the right mindset. Saul didn't obey God. Saul didn't try to please God. Saul went opposite of what God had called him to do. But David was sitting back there waiting on God, actively pursuing him. Nobody knew who David was, probably. Everybody knew who Saul was. He was the king of Israel. Said he was head and shoulders above everybody in there. But David was just a lowly shepherd boy in the back, doing what he was supposed to do, but God knew who he was. God didn't see, everybody in Israel didn't see. They would say, he's insignificant little runt back there watching the sheep. Look at this mighty king we have. But God said, no, that doesn't affect me. I want to use somebody who's pursuing me. Saul was pursuing popularity and notoriety and trying to gain his kingdom. But David had chose that what was important. And we think about that. I know that David, when he was being a shepherd, was probably praying a lot. And think about Jeremiah 33:3, which is a verse I talked about a couple weeks ago. It says, call unto me, and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. God says he's going to show us, but only after we call. We have to be willing to look and call and pursue after God. And, you know, that's what David was doing. He was calling on God, saying, use me, help me. You're the only way I can have any power. You're the only way I can have my thirst satisfied. And I'm sure David wanted to do something for God, but he had to be used to start with. God had to get him where he needed him. And we need to try to do great things for God by following him. There's a missionary, William Carey, back in the 1800s. His motto was, expect great things from God, but also attempt great things for God. And that was inspired by Ephesians 3:20-21, says, now unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to his power that worketh in us. The power that worketh in us is the Holy Ghost. However, we have to be actively pursuing that power and tapping into it and looking for God. And the only way we're going to be able to do anything for God is if we're pursuing him. We're not going to be able to do anything for God in our flesh. Our flesh doesn't want to serve God. Our flesh doesn't want to come to church. Our flesh doesn't want to get up early and read our Bible. Our flesh doesn't want to pant after the things of God. Our flesh wants to just satisfy itself and live a life of a lethargic and just go through the motions. But David had to put forth some effort to pursue God. You know, you think about somebody who's going out and they're hunting animals and stuff like that. They're not just going to sit there and wait till something walks by. No, they're going to go after it and follow it and try to see what it's going to lead them to. And David had that. He was trying to follow God, search for God, and see what God was going to do in his life. God was a man after God's own heart. He was a man who did right. He was a man who God called and could use because of where he was. By the world standard, David was seen as inconsequential. He was just a shepherd boy watching over some sheep. Every now and then he might run an errand to town or do something, didn't really stand out. But God saw him and saw the heart that he had and said, I can use that. And God saw him as important. The world saw him as inconsequential, but God saw him as important. The world saw him as strange, but God saw him as strong. The world saw him as a loser, but God saw him as a leader. And he knew that he could do something with that. And there's just a couple of quick points I want to look at, just a simple idea here today. I think simple sometimes is the best thing to do. But there's a few points about David's life that I want to look at that I think we should follow here. And David had some character traits we should exemplify. And he did what his father wanted. That's what he did. David did what his father wanted. Now, if we look in over here in 1 Samuel chapter 15, verse number 11 said, and after this is when Samuel was gone to anoint the king, he had seen all the sons of Jesse. And he said, Samuel said unto Jesse, are here all thy children? And he said, there remaineth yet the youngest, and behold, he keepeth the sheep. And Samuel said unto Jesse, send and fetch him, for he will not sit down till he come hither. Now, Jesse had told David to go watch those sheep. Those were probably the family sheep that he was watching, and Jesse wanted David to do it. And I think this shows that David was a humble man. He may or may not have known that Samuel's at the house. He probably didn't, but if he did, he didn't come run out there and say, hey, look at me, look at me. I want to be seen. I want to do it. He was still back there doing what his father had told him to do, watching the sheep, guarding them, keeping them safe. And Jesse knew. He didn't say, I think he's back watching the sheep, or I hope he is. He said, no, I know he's back there watching the sheep, because that was important to him. He wanted to make sure that what he was doing was done well and done properly. And Jesse knew. He said, I know he's back there watching those sheep right now. He didn't have to say, I hope he's back there. I believe he is. He's supposed to be back there. He might be asleep. He said, no, he is watching the sheep right now. And Samuel said, go get him and bring him here. Jesse knew that he could trust David to do what he had to do. And that was a menial task, but he knew David was going to do it and do it well. And David was doing what his father wanted. That's what you and I need to be doing. We need to be doing what our father wants us to do, our father in heaven. We need to be watching over people. We need to be guiding people. We need to help people. We need to help ourselves. We need to follow God, we maybe seem something small, maybe seem something insignificant, but if God told us to do it, then we need to be doing it. God needs to be able to say, I know that Seth's doing what I told him to do. I'm going to call him over here and have him do something else. God shouldn't have to come looking for us and say, well, they were supposed to be over here doing this. No, when God sends us to do something, even though it may be small, we need to be there. And God's right there to say they're doing what they need to do. Not only did David do what his father wanted, David defeated the predators. Let's look in 1 Samuel chapter 17, verses 34 through 36. David said unto Saul, thy servant kept his father's sheep, and there came a lion and a bear, and took a lamb out of the flock. And I went after him and smote him, and I delivered it out of his mouth. And when he arose against me, I caught him by his beard and smote him and slew him. Thy servant slew both the lion and the bear, and this uncircumcised Philistine shall be as one of them, seeing he hath defied the armies of the living God. Now David was out there doing what his father wanted, and predators came up. You know, when we're doing smaller, insignificant things, there's a predator. The devil's going to come up to us and say, you're not doing anything. You're just a small, insignificant part. But David knew that those sheep were important to his family. They were a foundational income for the family, whether it be meat or selling the wool or anything like that. And David said, I'm going to take this small task important, and I'm going to defeat the devil. And that's what we need to do, even in the small parts of our lives. When the predators come in and try to take away something from us or steal our joy or do something, we need to defeat them. We need to rise up against them. There was a lion and a bear came up and wanted to harm them. However, in the power of God, because he was actively pursuing God, David was able to defeat both the lion and the bear. And there will be times when we are alone, and that's the time the devil likes to come up to us and send predators in our lives, when we're alone and we're trying to do what's right for God. David was being obedient, and predators started coming into his life and trying to take him away and trying to distract him from what he was supposed to do. But David said, I'm not going to let those distract me. I'm not going to let them defeat me. I'm going to kill them and be done with them. I'm going to defeat these predators that are coming in my life. The devil likes to attack us when we're alone, but we can't let him do that. And we know that everything that David was doing was preparing him for being a king and being a leader. And there were going to be things that were going to be coming against Israel, and he was king, and he's going to have to fight back and push back on that. And God was just slowly preparing him because he was pursuing. And now in this passage of scripture we just looked at here, David was about to face his biggest battle yet, but he was drawing strength from smaller victories. When he was all alone by himself, God had been talking to him and gave him victory that nobody else had even seen. David was probably the only person who knew that this happened, but he was getting ready to fight against the Goliath, the giant, and he drew strength from those past victories that he had. He said, the same God that I've been actively pursuing has been using me to defeat these lions and these bears and to protect my sheep. That same God's going to deliver this giant into my hands today, because he knew God had already proven himself to David. Because I don't think any of us in here could just take a bear and a lion and rip it apart. David knew that God had given him the power. And he said, this Philistine is nothing to my God. He said, I know, because I'm pursuing God. I'm after his own heart. And he said, I can take out this Philistine. David was facing a big battle, but he knew that God had already delivered this lion into his hands. And that lion and the bear were predators that were coming into David's life, but he took care of them. He didn't let them keep coming in and destroy him. He didn't let them keep coming in and destroy the lions or the sheep. That lion and bear could have come after David and destroyed him, but he went after it and he killed it and he took care of it. So David was doing what his father wanted, and he defeated the predators that were coming into his life. And the next one is David delivered the bread. In 1 Samuel chapter 17, verses 17 through 18, David's delivering bread. Other sons of Jesse are out fighting the battle against the Philistines. And once again, Jesse said unto David, his son, take now for thy brethren an ephah of parched corn and 10 loaves, and run to the camp of thy brethren and carry these 10 cheeses to the captain of their houses, and look how thy brethren fare and take their pledge. Once again, Jesse knew that David was going to be there when he needed him, and he found him and he gave him some bread to deliver. Now there's a kind of a different angle I want to look at this here for just a minute. We need to deliver bread. I know bread's a term we use for money. You know, typically you got the bread, that's the money. But if we think about it from the aspect of like missions, these men are out there fighting the battle. Our missionaries are out fighting battles on the front line, and God's wanting to use us to deliver money and support and supplies to them so they can carry out the mission of their battle. But at the same time, God can use us to win a battle as well. These missionaries that we support, they're out there fighting. They need money. They need support. They need supplies. And we can get that to them, but we never know what God might use us to do. He may send us somewhere to get a battle. He may send us somewhere to defeat somebody or just to help sustain people. And David, even though he wasn't in the army, he was willing to carry bread, supplies, and go after them and give them the things they needed to fight. And when he had that active mindset to do that, God said, I'm going to use you to do something that they can't even do. And if we have that constant mindset, say, well, we're just here in a small church, we're not really doing anything, but we're supporting missions all around the world, and God, we never know what God might do through what we're doing. God may say, I've got something I want this church to do for me. And if you think about that, we supported missionaries all these years. We sent them all around the world, and we got everything we need. They send them money. And God said, well, I'm going to give y'all a radio station to carry the gospel around the world. That's something that not everybody can do. Not everybody could have defeated Goliath. David was the chosen one to defeat Goliath. And, you know, if we think about the radio ministry, that's a giant that we have to face, because we're going up against the prince and power of the air. Nobody hears radio people. We don't know everything about it. But God gave us that victory because we have been helping other missionaries and supplying them and letting them do it. And David was going to help them. He was giving them supplies. And God said, well, now that you've done this, you've shown yourself faithful as following your father. You defeated those predators. Now you've delivered this bread. Now I'm going to help you destroy the enemy. And now let's look at 1 Samuel chapter 17, verses 45 through 50. Then said David to the Philistine, thou comest to me with a sword and with a spear and with a shield, but I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defied. This day will the Lord deliver thee into mine hand, and I will smite thee, and I will take thine head from thee, and I will give thee the carcasses of the host of the Philistines this day unto the fowls of the air, and to the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. And all the assembly shall know that the Lord saveth not with the sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hands. And it came to pass, when the Philistine arose and came and drew nigh to meet David, that David hastened and ran toward the army to meet the Philistine. And David put his hand into his bag and took thence a stone and slung it and smote the Philistine in the forehead, and the stone sunk into his forehead, and he fell upon his face to the earth. So David prevailed over the Philistine with a sling and with a stone, and he smote the Philistine and slew him, and there was no sword in the hand of David. You know what that means? There was no sword in the hand of David. That means God's the one that killed that Philistine. Now David slung that rock in, but God smacked him in the back of the head and knocked him down. And David went out there against somebody who was a lot bigger, a lot faster, a lot stronger, and a lot more powerful than him, but he didn't go out there in his might. It said the battle is the Lord's. David was just the vessel that God used, because David had been actively pursuing God and following after him, so God used him to do it. And David defeated, he didn't just defeat the enemy, he destroyed the enemy. He cut that head off, but he went out in the same power that he had defeated the lion and the bear in, and God used him to destroy that enemy, and he delivered a great victory to Israel that day, because Goliath was no longer a problem, because David took care of him in the strength of God. And one thing stands out to me about David's preparation. Now, if we look back over here in verse number 38 and 39, it says, and Saul armed David with his armor, and he put an helmet of brass upon his head, and he also armed him with a coat of mail. And David girded his sword upon his armor and essayed to go, for he had not proved it. And David said unto Saul, I cannot go with these, I have not proved them. And David put them off him. David said, I hadn't proven this armor. But one thing David had proven was God and the power. He didn't need the armor. He needed the power of God in his life, because he had been actively pursuing God. He knew, I don't need this. This is not something I've been proven. And in other words, David didn't have to get a new thing to do what God wanted him to do. He didn't have to use a contemporary mindset to do that. He said, the old way's been proven. The power of God working through me. I don't need this armor. I just need God to go forth and deliver this Philistine just like he did the lion and the bear. David didn't have to try something new to win a victory. He just kept doing what he'd already been doing. And what was that doing? Pursuing God, following God, letting God work through him, letting God defeat those enemies, let God destroy those predators, let God destroy the enemy. He said, I don't need this. I don't need this modern armor. I don't need this sword. I don't need a spear. And at the end there, it says there was no sword in the hand of David. The only thing in the hand of David was a sling that God used to kill that giant. And he didn't need that armor because he knew that God was going to deliver a victory. And the Philistine didn't even lay a hand on him. All David did was sling a rock at him, and he did that. Amen. And one last thing I want to look at that David had an attribute is that David had desired to build the house of the Lord. 1 Chronicles chapter 28. 1 Chronicles chapter 28, verse 9 through 10 says, And thou, Solomon, my son, know thou the God of thy father, and serve him with a perfect heart and with a willing mind. For the Lord searches all the hearts and understandeth all the imaginations. The thoughts, if thou seek him, will be found of thee. But if thou forsake him, he will cast thee off forever. Now, I think that's David knew that for Saul. He said, searches all the heart's imagination. If thou seek him, he will be found. David was speaking from experience here. He said, if you seek the Lord, he's going to be found. He said, but if thou forsake him, he will cast thee off forever. He had seen both of those happen. He knew that he had actively sought God and he had found God and God had given him a victory. But he also knew that Saul had forsaken God and God casted him off forever. But verse 10 says, Take heed now, for the Lord hath chosen thee to build a house for the sanctuary. Be strong and do it. David had a desire to build the house, but God didn't let him do it because he was a man of war. And so we look here in verse number chapter 28, verse 1-2 said, And David assembled all the princes of Israel and the princes of the tribes and the captains of the companies that ministered unto him by the course, and the captains over thousands and captains over hundreds and stewards of all the substance and possessions, the king of his sons, the officers, and with the mighty men and all that were valiant men in Jerusalem. And David, the king, stood up upon his feet and said, Hear me, my brethren and my people. As for me, I'd had in mine heart to build a house for the rest of the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord, and the footstool of our God had made ready a building. But God said unto me, Thou shalt not build a house for my name, because thou hast been a man of war and hast shed blood. Howbeit, the Lord God of Israel chose me before all thine house of my father to be king over Israel forever. For he had chosen Judah to be the ruler of the house of Judah, and the house of my father among the sons of the father he had liked me to make king over all of Israel. Now David, God promised David his lineage going to be king of Israel forever, and David started that process already. He's had a desire to build the house of the Lord, so he started getting everything ready for it. He started telling people. And then when his son Solomon came along, he told him, God's chosen you to do it, but I've got everything already lined up for you to do it. David had put things in place to get the temple built and to start it over. David wanted God to have a house. David said, I've got a house, but God doesn't have one. He desired to build it up. That's the mindset that you and I need to have. We need that desire to build up the house of God. One way we can build up the house of God is by being here. Another way we build our house of God by witnessing, by serving God, by being faithful, by inviting other people and letting God work in our lives. And verse number 6 says, He said unto me, Solomon thy son shall build my house and my courts, for I have chosen him to be my son, and I will be his father. Moreover, I will establish his kingdom forever, if he be constant to do my commandments and my judgment at this day. Now therefore, in the sight of all Israel, the congregation of the Lord, and the audience of our God, keep and seek all the commandments of the Lord your God, that ye may possess this good land and leave an inheritance for you and your children forever. David knew that if we kept serving God, kept looking after God, kept doing what God wanted, God was going to establish that kingdom forever. And David knew that from experience. And we see all throughout David's life that he had stayed faithful in the small things to start with. He was a shepherd. Then he became into the house of Saul and served him. Then he defeated the enemy. God kept moving David up. Why? Because David never lost the active pursuing of God in his life. And all these things work together, and David is exactly pursuing God. And small victories make strong Christians. They strengthen us. Private devotion to God leads to private victories from God. Matthew 6:4 says, "Thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly." Dedication to God will always lead to devotion to God and the blessings from God. And that's what David knew. He knew that if he actively pursued God, he was going to be able to see his kingdom established forever. And being a man after God's own heart led David to both private and public victories. His dedication to the Lord and his desire to see God use him spurred him on to do great things for God. And we think about that. We see that in the many psalms that David wrote throughout his life. Psalm 3 says, "Thou, O Lord, art a shield for me." Psalm 4, I will lay me down in peace and sleep, for thou, Lord, only makest me dwell in safety. Psalm 5, "Lead me, O Lord, in righteousness." David was constantly writing these psalms down and having that mindset of pursuing God and knowing he was the one that's going to help him. And on we could go, but I believe it's safe to say that David never lost his sense of amazement. That's what we talked about. David never lost his sense of amazement. He's written all these psalms in the Bible. We know that God was always at the forefront of David's life. He never lost his sense of amazement. He never lost his sense of wonder of who God was and what he'd done in his life. And almost every king after David was compared to him. It is said that they did as their father David, or they did not as their father David. The positive ones did as their father David, and the negative ones did not as their father David. Even after David died, God still compared how they did to him, because he was actively pursued after God. And all these other kings that came after him, God said, "Well, they're not doing like David. They're not actively pursuing me." But then you see some, well, hey, they're actively following me. They're pursuing me. They did as their father David. And then about Brother Gary preaching the other night about Josiah, he was actively following just like David, wanting to get rid of things in his life, wanting to let God use in his life, wanting to get away from distractions, to defeat those predators that were coming in his life. And David was the standard for every king that followed after him. And he, why was that? Because God, he had let God use him. He had let God do something in his life that he couldn't do, and he was dedicated to what his father wanted, and he was defeating those predators that were coming in his life. He delivered the bread to the people that needed it. He destroyed his enemy, and then he had a desire to build up the house of God. And that's why God used him, because of all those things he had done in his life. And that's the thing I want to think about, that David never lost his sense of amazement for who God was, and he never lost his sense of actively pursuing God and following him. And the first kind of mention of David in the Bible is that God was looking for a man after his own heart. And then you see all the victories that God allowed David to do. Now, that's not to say David didn't have some issues. We know David fell into great sin, but he still always went back to that. He never got away from it. He fell away, but he always went back to it. He always knew that God was there. He always knew that God was going to save him. And there's a lot of psalms we see that David wrote when he was doing wrong and he had fallen and done his sin, but he always knew that God was his shield and his sustainer. And that doesn't mean we're going to live perfect lives, because we're not going to. We're human beings. But we never need to lose the sense of wonder and amazement and pursue God, because when we do that, that's when God's going to bless us. God wasn't blessing David when he was sinning with Bathsheba or out doing something wrong. God was blessing him when he was pursuing him. Now, that doesn't give us a license to go out and sin or do something, but if we do fall, we always know that God's going to bring us back, because he saved us, and we can get back on that track. Now, we may get behind where we need to be, but we can catch back up, because God's going to use us. But David never lost that sense of wonder and amazement, and God was able to give him his kingdom forever and ever, and compared every other king to him, and base that on the fact that he had been actively pursuing him. So that's what we need to think about this revival this week coming up the rest of the time. Actively pursue God. Let him do something in our lives. Defeat those enemies that we have, but do it in the power of God and the grace and strength that he's given us, and God can do a great victory in us. And there's no telling what God can do with a yielded and willing vessel. Saul had great potential, but he let it go. David had great potential, and he tapped into it because he let God do it and not himself. And so I hope that was just an encouragement to you this morning to actively pursue God and let him work in your heart and life, and hope that God can do even greater things for us, because he wants to do it. We've got to be looking for it and let him do it.
Amen.